Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. I appreciate your presence here. We do have a lot who are out traveling over the holiday weekend, but I'm thankful that you are here so that we can study God's Word together. This morning we began a study of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to be turning there because we will be in the text this evening. And as we looked at this, we looked at it under the heading of a statement made by David. And that is, your servant will go and fight. Of course, we're looking at that great battle between David and Goliath. And there were 4 points in all that we wanted to notice. And we noticed 3 of those this morning. We'll recap those quickly, and then we'll move into our 4th and final point. We began by noticing the challenger. In verses 4 through 7 of 1 Samuel 17, we have this challenger described, Goliath from Gath. And as we looked at Goliath, we talked about the different aspects of him that are given in the text and some other things that we can take away from that. We noticed that he stood roughly 9 feet, 9 inches tall is the most acceptable height that he's given. We've looked at how his weight, if you look at that in comparison to his height, considering he's a warrior, I mean, you're looking at a weight of somewhere between 600 to 800 pounds. And so you've got this massive war-hardened soldier here who is standing before the armies of Israel. We move from this description of the challenger to the challenge that he issued. And he issued a challenge that was very straightforward to the armies of Israel. He said, there's no need for us to go into a battle and lots of people to die. You send out your best warrior and the two of us will fight. If I prevail, then you'll serve us. If your guy prevails, then we'll serve you. And he issued this challenge over the course of 40 days. And we noticed it wasn't just the challenge that he issued, but he also hurled insults at the army of God. And that brought us to our 3rd point, and that it was the child. And David is introduced at this point. And we talked about David that at this point in time, he's somewhere definitely in his later teen years. We know that he wouldn't be 20 years of age because if he'd have been 20 or older, he would have been at the fight already. But he goes to bring provisions for his brothers. He goes out and sees the battle, and he sees this giant come out and challenge the armies of Israel. And he goes to Saul and tells Saul, your servant will go and fight. We notice that David was able to make such a statement because of his great faith in God. David said that God had delivered him from a lion and a bear, and that this giant Goliath would be no different. Now that brings us to our 4th point tonight, and that is the champion. These two individuals are going to do battle. And of course, a champion will be crowned from that. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, then he, David, took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. We have David getting ready now to go to battle. And as we read this, if we don't know a lot about ancient battles and the history of warfare, it might sound like David's going into battle with some pebbles and a child's toy. But friends, that's not it at all. David is going into battle with a weapon of war. The sling was a weapon that was used by ancient armies. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 25, we read of the slingers of the army of Israel. This was a section just like you would have archers. They had individuals who used the sling as a weapon of war. In Judges chapter 20 and verses 15 and 16, is it talks about the tribe of Benjamin. You recall that many in the tribe of Benjamin were left-handed. That was one of the traits of that tribe. It talks about that they had 700 left-handed individuals that were proficient at the sling, that could sling at a hair and not miss. These individuals who used the sling in war, they were very proficient at this. They were deadly accurate. And when it talks about the stones, these smooth stones that he picked up, y'all, don't get the idea that he picked up some pebbles. As archaeologists have uncovered caches of these stones that they would use in these slings, most of these stones were from billiard size, a billiard ball, to the size of a tennis ball. That's what they're slinging with this thing. There were some that were found a little bit smaller, maybe down to the size of a golf ball, but the vast majority were about the size of a pool ball. When they would leave the sling, these things would exit the sling in excess of 60 miles per hour. And they could sling these things up to 400 yards. Now, if you take someone that maybe had on a coat of mail and you know, they were well protected with their armor, an arrow shot at them might not penetrate that. But a pool ball-sized stone slung at them, even if that hits in the chest area, and even if that armor that they have protects it from going in further, y'all, that's going to knock a person down. That's going to incapacitate them at the least. And slingers were trained not to aim for the body, but to aim for the head, as we're going to see with David here. And so as David goes into battle here, don't get the picture of a kid with a child's toy. This is a young man with a weapon of war, prepared to do battle for God. And I think there's a lesson there for us in that God expected David to do his part. God expected David not just to walk up and say, okay, God, you're going to protect me. No, God expected David to do what he could do as well. Yes, God was going to be with him every step of the way, but God expected David to do his part in this. In verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Remember, as David comes out, he's got his sling in one hand, his staff in his other. And this Philistine sees David come out. You know, here it is. They're going to present their best warrior for me to fight. And here comes the shepherd boy. And he looks at him. The Bible says he disdained him. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Goliath is not scared at all when he sees David. But all he sees is David. He doesn't see who's with David. In verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Notice the confidence of David. What does David not have with him? A sword. But what does David tell Goliath? I'm going to cut your head off. Notice the confidence of David with God on his side. In this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Something about David here, at no point in all of this is David putting anything for himself. David's putting all of this, the victory, what's going to take place. He says all of this is God's doing. To let everyone know that God is the one that is in control. You know, it's one thing to beat someone. It's another thing to tell them how you're going to do it before you do it. Everyone knows I like baseball. It would be like a baseball player, the pitcher taking the mound, looking at the batter and saying, here comes a fastball, good luck. And he just rips a 99-mile-per-hour fastball down the center of the plate, and the batter can't hit it. Or as you've seen it before, a batter comes up the plate, and he points out to the outfield wall. And then the pitch comes, and he hits it in that exact spot. That, in essence, is what David has done here. Goliath, not only am I going to beat you, here's how it's going to happen. In verse 48, so it was when the Philistine arose, and he came and drew near to meet David, that David had hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Most believe it. You see pictures of this when they're drawn of David swinging above his head like this. Most believe that when they did it like a softball pitcher. You've seen fast pitch softball where the pitcher goes underhand and I mean they can hum that pitch out of that hand. In essence, that's what they believe, how they believe they use the sling, that they maybe one wind up and then underhand. So this pool ball exits the sling at 60 plus miles per hour. There's not a lot of distance between the two of them as they're drawing near to one another, so there's not going to be a lot of lessening of that. And that thing hits Goliath square in the forehead. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, he slung it and stuck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Can you imagine if you're the army of the Philistines right now? I mean, this is your champion. This is your Sherman tank, okay? This is the guy who comes into the battle and clears out a large number of folks for you. And now here he lies face first in the dirt. You know, David here in a moment is going to make good on his word, but Goliath was dead when he hit the pavement. Okay? With a pool ball sunk into his forehead, he's done when he hit the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of his sheath. I'm trying to picture David, who the Bible describes as a smaller individual, pulling out the Philistine sword. Which, you know, I mean, you take Goliath at 9 feet 9 inches, his sword's going to be comparable to that. I mean, he's not going to have a normal size sword. And so here's David with this huge sword here. He drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut it off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. David did exactly what he said he would do. And with God on his side, he defeated Goliath. The greatest of battles, the biggest of underdogs, but the greatest of victories, all because of the faith that David put in the God of heaven. Now that raises the question, though, what does that have to do with us? Well, just like then, there's a battle that is raging. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Not always a physical war, but definitely a spiritual one. And there is a challenger, Satan. And he's far worse than any giant of Gath. Peter would tell us in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He has an army behind him, many who will follow him. And just like Goliath, he sets forth a challenge. He opposes God and all who follow him. But there are children. Children of God of all ages. The question is whether or not we'll have the attitude of David. Will we as God's servants go and fight? Remember, just like with David, God is on our side. And with him, we will be victorious. There are going to be giants that we're all going to have to face. There are going to be troubles and trials. There's going to be health problems. There's going to be different things out in society that we have to deal with. There are always going to be giants that we have to go against. But friends, with God with us, we cannot be defeated. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, Paul writes, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the giants come, friends, the question is, will we go and fight? Or will we run and hide? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can begin that fight this evening by turning from sin, by putting Christ on in baptism. Maybe you've done that. I realize looking at that many of you have. Are you still in the fight or have you turned to the side? Let's all be like David. Let's all say to God, your servant will go and fight. And as a result, one day we'll have heaven as our home. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.